Well, turn again, please, in God's Word to Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, and our motto text for the new year is taken from this chapter. And I want to look at the motto text both this morning and this afternoon. Philippians chapter 3, and in the verse 13. Philippians 3 and the verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We need the Lord's help as we come to his word. Let us seek the Lord's face together then, please, in prayer. Our gracious Father, we thank thee for the living word of God. And Lord, we ask that help will be given as we turn to the scriptures of truth. And Lord, we pray that thou will take thine own word and write it upon all of our hearts. And Lord, we do pray, dear Lord, that there will be a word in season for every one of us. We've all met together with such differing needs, but we thank thee that thy word is a living word. We pray then that thy word will be written indelibly on every one of our hearts. Grant that help of the Holy Spirit of God, we do pray. Give that mighty power from above in Christ's great name. Amen. Amen. John King was an Irish soldier who gained great fame as an Australian explorer. He was the sole survivor of the tragic Burke and Wills expedition of 1860 and 1861. And that was a group of men who sought to open up a route across the Australian continent from Melbourne up to the coast of northern Queensland. The group did make it to the north of Queensland, but they were hampered by the weather and local terrain from actually seeing the open ocean. And it was an expedition then that carried with it great disappointment as well as dispute. The return journey was particularly tragic as the men that travelled, many of them were dehydrated and starving. They also faced contrasting weather when they faced tropical monsoons. John King, with Burke and Wills, reached Cooper Creek in the northern part of what is now South Australia. And all of the men were extremely weak. They had hoped that help was going to be there for them in Cooper Creek in the northern part of what is now South Australia. But the help wasn't there. Both Burke and Wills died of exhaustion and starvation. But King survived with the help of local Aboriginals and was rescued about 3 months later. The account of John King is certainly one of great determination. He had this great determination to complete the assignment that had been given to him. Every Christian is called to have that same determination in the spiritual realm. We are all to be men and women of great determination. And in Philippians chapter 3, Paul speaks of this great determination. He speaks of it as single-minded determination. In verse 13, he says there, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, some have looked at that and have thought, is Paul a bit confused as he has mentioned counting one thing and he lists three things? Well, If you look at the verse, if you have your Bible open before you, when it says this one thing I do, the next words could be put in brackets, the rest of verse 13. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. The one thing that he is doing is pressing toward the mark. And that one thing, pressing toward the mark, involves then these things that are spoken of at the end of verse 13. To press forward involves forgetting those things which are behind. To press toward the mark involves reaching forth unto those things which are before. Forgetting what is behind. Surely those words emphasize to us there is to be concentration. Concentration. But then not only this concentration, Paul says, reaching forth unto those things which are before. That involves exertion. Reaching forth, straining forth, exerting the body. And in this particular section of the chapter, Paul is using the language of an athlete. And he likens himself then to a runner in a great race. And as he runs in that race, it is his desire to reach the end. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And if he is going to reach that prize, if he is going to reach the finish line, he must then forget those things which are behind. And he must always be reaching forth unto those things that are before. And so he has this great single-minded passion. I press toward. That word that we have translated press in verse 14 is translated follow in verse 12. Verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. I am pressing on. I'm following after my Lord. And here then is my great goal, Paul says, to press on, that I might reach that final goal. Now in these verses we discover that Paul really is saying that his focus is to be on two great purposes that God has for his people. Firstly, his focus is to be on God's purpose for his earthly pilgrimage. He is to be focusing on God's purpose for him in his earthly pilgrimage. God has something for me to do now. But then he is also to focus on God's purpose for his heavenly reward. That certainly is the great burden of the text, and we're going to come and look at that part this morning. But implied in this is what we're going to look at this morning then, that we are to focus on God's purpose for our earthly pilgrimage. For in verse 13, Paul says there, I count, brethren, I count, or I calculate. I measure this up in my mind, and as I calculate, this is the result that I have reached. I count not myself to have apprehended. The word there has the idea of seizing. And so he is saying there are various things that the Lord would have me to seize, but I have not yet seized them all. I count not myself to have apprehended. As some have paraphrased this, and it is only a paraphrase, I do not consider myself to have arrived. I haven't finished what God has given for me to do here on earth. And so yes, I am to be heavenly minded. I am to be taken up with the things of heaven. But the Lord has various things for me to do now here on the earth. There are things that I must attain. There are things that I must seize now in the present. And so he says in verse 12, not as though I had already attained. And the word is very similar to this word, apprehended. I haven't gained it all. And then Paul really is saying in the text, I'm pressing toward the mark. I am following after. I am seeking to add these things in my Christian life. I am seeking to gain more and more for God, in God's name. And so he is focusing on God's purpose for his earthly pilgrimage. I want to say, first of all, that to focus on this earthly pilgrimage, we are to be assured of God's salvation. The Christian is to be assured of God's salvation. If you look with me at verse 12, Paul says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And so Paul is talking here about this seizing, this grasping. And he says, I am pressing on in order that I might apprehend, in order that I might grasp. And what is it that he wants to seize? That for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And so he is saying that Jesus Christ has seized me. Jesus Christ has taken hold of me. I was rebelling against God, but the Lord has seized me and brought me, as it were, into his custody. He has brought me into his control. And as the Lord seized me, the Lord had a purpose in doing that. The Lord seized me because he wanted me to seize various things in his name. And so what Paul is acknowledging here is, the Lord has seized me, but I have not seized all that the Lord took hold of me that I might seize. Now some have looked at these words and wondered if Paul had doubts about his salvation. That is certainly not the case at all. Paul is saying that God is not finished with him. So Paul is saying that he hasn't gained everything that there is to be gained in our Christian walk, in our Christian journey. So he is truly justified. He is right before God. But there are things that he is to press on and to enjoy God in more. He's not going to be adding to his salvation in that legal sense. But he is to be knowing more of God. And here we find then that Paul is not doubting. Rather, we have here words of great Christian testimony. If you look with me again at what he says at the end of verse 12, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And if you just focus on those last words, I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ has seized me. Those are not words of doubt. Those are words of great assurance. Paul says then, I was rebelling against God. I was persecuting the church, as he said earlier in Philippians chapter 3. I was on my way to Damascus for that very purpose, but God apprehended me. Rather than me arresting Christians in Damascus and bringing them back to Jerusalem, the Lord arrested me and brought him into his custody. And on that basis, I am pressing on. And what we see then here is that Paul's assurance of salvation is a vital part to him pressing on. The reason why he has this single-handed determination, one thing I do, I press toward the mark. He has this single-minded determination because he is assured of the Lord's saving purpose in his life. And this is true for every Christian. If we are assured of God's salvation, If we are confident that God has seized us, this will be a vital part of our pressing forward. On the other hand, if you're plagued with doubts, if you're doubting if the Lord has saved you, then there's not going to be this pressing forward. You're always going to be hindered. And therefore we can learn from this text that it is God's purpose for his people that we would be brought to that increasing assurance of what the Lord has done for us. Remember how John said in 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." And Paul, or John rather, there is saying, I write in order that you might believe, in order that you might know, in order that you might be sure, that you might press on. A lack of assurance is crippling. And maybe there's someone in the meeting today, and if you're honest before the Lord, you must confess that to be true. That as you have doubted God's mercy in your life, that you have been crippled. You think of Paul's allusion here to athletics. Imagine an athlete out in the track, and he's not actually sure if he's really running in the arena or not. He's not really going to have much determination to press on. Imagine someone running in the arena, and he's not really sure if he's actually listed to run in that event. Those thoughts of doubt are going to hold him back. But for the one that is sure, for the one that knows where he is, for the one that knows that he appears on that list of athletes, then he is going to press on toward the mark. He can give it enthusiasm. Sometimes people do doubt that they are the Lord's. They may well be truly converted, and they are plagued with doubts. One reason is that they may be focusing on what they have done rather than what the Lord has done for them. If you look with me again at those words at the end of verse 12, Paul says, I follow after. Remember, it is this same word, press. I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Paul there, as he spoke of his testimony, he didn't say, on the Damascus Road, I seized the Lord and was saved. Now that was true, of course. Paul did reach out. Paul did cry to the Lord for mercy. There was that saving faith. But Paul is not taken up with how great his faith was, because he would have to confess, my faith is weak. Paul rather is taken up with this. Christ has taken hold of me. Christ Jesus has seized me. Even when I was fighting against him, the Lord took hold of me. And if you long today to be assured of salvation, you must be brought to have this as your focus. What a God of mercy my God is, that he would take hold of me. Therein is assurance. Sometimes people doubt because they have focused on their failures. And so Paul says here, forgetting those things which are behind. And if we think about that statement at this time in a negative sense, forgetting those negative things that are behind, there is to be then a sanctified forgetting. And perhaps you have ill-treated others. There is a sense in which you're to go to those people. You're to apologize. You are to repent. But then you're to forget those things that are behind. Don't let your failure plague you. But rejoice that the Lord has never ill-treated you. Perhaps you look back and you remember that you have murmured. you have complained against others, against God. Again, you are to repent. But then there is to be a forgetting. God has always been faithful to you. He has not murmured against you. You maybe remember your anger, your bitterness, your temper. Do you lament that? But today, child of God, forget those things that are behind. Remember that God is faithful to forgive. That as God's people forget, confess their sin, God's word has assured us that he is faithful to forgive. You've wondered. You've grown cold in your Christian walk. There is to be a forgetting of failure. And instead of focusing on the failure, look at the one who goes after the wandering sheep. The faithful shepherd who has never been unfaithful, forgetting those things which are behind. Those failures, they can cripple. And we're to focus then on God's grace and on God's mercy. We can only forget as we focus on the mercy of God, as we focus on the grace of God, as we see that God's grace is greater than all our sin. But as we focus on that grace, we're to forget and we're to press on. And here we discover then that it's God's purpose on our earthly pilgrimage that we would be assured of God's salvation. And before I move on, it is equally true, of course, for those that are not truly converted, that you would be sure you're not. For those that have some false profession, it's God's purpose that you would be brought to see the emptiness of that. And that you would flee from that barrenness. That you would run today to Christ Jesus for mercy. And rest today not in your effort or in your confession, but rest in the work of the cross for you. Be assured of God's salvation. But then I want to see, secondly, that it's God's purpose that we would be humble before God's face. For remember, this pressing forward has these two elements. It involves forgetting what is behind, and then this straining forward, reaching forth onto those things which are before. Now, I've been showing you that there are failures that we are to forget. But as we keep this verse in the context of the chapter, we discover that there are things that we would look on positively that we need to forget. Or at least we need to put them into right perspective. And in the early part of the chapter, Paul was speaking of his great accomplishments in his unconverted days. And he says that there are people, and they would boast in what they have done. They would boast in their heritage. They would boast in their religious ritual. And Paul says, if anybody is to boast in any of those things, I will be able to exceed you. I was born into the most Jewish of homes. I was circumcised the 8th day. I have had great zeal. My zeal for the Jewish religion has been such, I would persecute anything that I see to be against it. I have been so scrupulous in seeking to obey what I have believed the law of God to be. And Paul is saying, if anybody could hope to gain righteousness through effort, it's me. And yet he came to say, I've had to see that it's all worthless. I count it but dung. I count it like the garbage. It has done nothing to accomplish anything before Almighty God. And today, if you're here without the Lord, you ought to pay attention to those words. And today, do not calculate up before God the things that you have done. I've done this and I've done that and I've put this right and I've put that right. Today you're to count all of that as the rubbish. What are you to count as great? The work of Jesus Christ for a sinner like you. But there is a trap here
that the Christian can fall into. As Paul speaks of what he was like in his unconverted days, aren't there times that God's people can fall into the trap and they will say, look at what I've accomplished for God. It might be some aspect of holy living. It might be some aspect of Christian labor. It might be prayer or Bible reading. And you look back and you say, oh, look what I have done. And maybe you say, look what I have seized. Look what I have attained. Look what I have apprehended. This other believer, there, miles behind I am. What is that? Filthy, stinking, sinful pride. And here Paul then says, forgetting those things that are behind, even what you think you have accomplished in the Lord's name. For if your testimony is what you have accomplished in the past, then it's not up to date. Paul says here, what I have accomplished in God's name is not the end. I'm pressing forward for more. I always think it's a tragic thing when you hear some of God's people pray, and I don't think I've heard it in this congregation, but to hear some of God's people pray, and it's all about what happened 5, 10, 20, 50 years ago. As if the Lord worked in their life then, and that's when it stopped. That's a tragedy. We're to be pressing on, in a measure forgetting those things which are behind, and not forgetting the Lord's mercy, and not forgetting what the Lord has done for us, not at all. But saying, I am pressing on to accomplish more in the Lord's name, and to do so will involve brokenness. To do so will involve humility. To do so will involve taking the words that Christ spoke in Luke chapter 17 in one of the parables there, where we are brought to say, I am an unprofitable servant. I have only done what I was obligated to do. We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And let us not boast in what we have done. But let us be those that are pressing forward to be humble before God's face. And then I want to say finally this morning that it is God's purpose in our earthly pilgrimage to be holy like God's Son. For the key word, obviously, in this particular section, verse 12 to verse 14, is this word apprehend or grasp, laying hold of. And in the context, Paul tells us the things that he hasn't yet fully laid hold of. And so if you look with me at verse 10, he says that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I already had attained. Now, Paul had attained these things in some measure already. Perhaps in a measure greater than any of us in the meeting. He did know the Lord. But he was saying, I long to know more of him. He did know God's power, but he longed to know more of it. He longed to prove more of the power of God's resurrection in his own life. He already had been made conformable unto these sufferings, the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Paul had suffered much. But he's saying, I can accomplish so much more. I should say that those words at the end of verse 10, where it says, the fellowship of suffering being made conformable unto his death. It's not just speaking there of our death and physically laying down our lives. That's very evident in the words that follow, where Paul says, I have not yet apprehended. It's obvious
that as he's writing the letter that he hasn't died.
These words are a parallel to what he has said elsewhere. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live.
And so he's saying, I need to be more and more conform, to the Lord's death, dying to sin, and living more and more of this risen life.
And we could sum up then his great cry like this: give me more of Christ. One thing I do, I press toward the mark. And he is saying, let me know more of Christ. And surely in this new year, this ought to be our prayer. In this new year, let me know more of Christ. Let me be holy like God's Son. Let me be more and more conformed to the image of Christ. In Hosea 6 verse 4, to use the words there, let me follow on to know the Lord. Let me follow on to know the Lord. If you could turn with me to Romans chapter 8. And we'll just look at some words here before we close. Romans chapter 8. And the verse 28. Romans chapter 8 and the verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. But if you could look with me at verse 29. Whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Christian, why has the Lord chosen you to be a believer? Why has the Lord set his saving, electing love upon you? That you might be conformed to the image of his Son. So many have the idea, the Lord has just saved me to deliver me from hell. And so I've got this ticket to heaven and I can just go around the rest of my life until I die with a long grumpy face. That cannot be further from the truth. The Lord has saved you that you might be conformed to the image of God's Son. The Lord has saved you that you might enjoy the Lord in eternity, yes. But that you might enjoy salvation now. Conform to the image of Christ. And surely then we have a parallel to the words in Philippians chapter 3. Where Paul says, I have not yet apprehended that for which Christ has apprehended me. Why did Christ apprehend him? To be conformed to the image of his Son. The Lord grasped you that you might seize this, that you might be more and more like Jesus Christ. Have you laid hold of all of that? I certainly haven't. How much I feel the Lord. May this be then our great purpose. In this new year, one thing I do. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And maybe in closing, there's one in the meeting, and you do not have a testimony that the Lord has apprehended you. Oh, that you would see today that sin has apprehended you. The devil has seized you. He is determined to keep holding on to you. But oh, today that you would see the great message of the cross of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ came to set sinners like you free. that you might be seized by him. May you even run to Jesus Christ today for mercy and call upon him to save your soul. We trust the Lord will take his word today and bless it to all of our hearts. Amen.